That makes it easy to say yes to God when you get it started like that. So thank you. I'm really glad to be here. I'm glad to be breathing through all my abilities. I've had the cold that some of y'all have had, so forgive my voice being a little under the weather, but it is really good to be here and be here during Advent season. Chris, could we get our slides up there? There we go. Get back to that. Very good. So it's Advent season. And it's the season when we spend a lot of time with these stories of the first people that get to hear about Jesus coming. We've been hearing about these stories of Mary and Elizabeth, these lucky, fortunate, blessed people who are the first ones to hear about this. It's an amazing thing. And we tend to think about these folks as the beginning of the Christmas story, the story that ends in a manger. But I also like to think of them as the end of another story. The end of a long story of waiting. Because we know that these people who call themselves Israel, have been waiting for generations and generations and generations for their promise to come true. They passed down this promise through stories. They celebrated it through songs. And they had a lot of hopes in this promise. They were hoping that they would finally be out from under an oppressive king. They hope that they would finally get to spend all their time with each other in peace and love with God's presence all the time. They were hoping for a time in which the poor would be fed and all would be taken care of. They longed for that. They hoped for that. And this was the time when folks finally got to see that coming. And so Advent season is a time for us to get invited alongside that waiting, right? We can identify with that waiting. We're waiting for things, right? The same way they were. The same way these folks at that time, long and long ago, were waiting for things. What are we waiting for? What are some of y'all waiting to see God do? Shout it out.
Take me to Florida.
I'm waiting. What's that? Justice. What else?
Health care for all.
Health care for all. Christmas, yes. We're waiting for Christmas. And Christmas is this great time to celebrate waiting. And we're what's that? Waiting for people to be fed. Waiting for violence to stop. Waiting for there to be peace. All these things we're waiting for. We can relate to these folks waiting, right? They were waiting so long, and it's beautiful to see them finally come along. And then this Advent, we've been saying that it's not just about waiting passively. It's also a story of people who are invited along in that and say yes. They listen and they say yes. I want to be part of that coming about. I'm not just going to be passive, wait for it to come. I'm going to be a part of that. It's a beautiful thing. And today I'd like to think about how we can't be there to say yes until we first learn to listen. We have to listen for when that's going to come. It's really hard to listen, isn't it? It's hard to hear. We don't always hear. We're not always sure we heard what we thought we heard. And that's what I want to think with y'all a little bit about today. I want to start with this story of Zechariah. This is a great story of a person who had a chance to come along and didn't listen. I can relate. So Zechariah is a priest, right? And he is there taking his turn. It says, when Zechariah, in the Gospel of Luke, was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen to go into the temple the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer's been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're going to give him the name John. It's going to be John the Baptist, the herald of Jesus. This boy will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, for he's going to be filled with the Spirit instead, the Holy Spirit. And many of the people of Israel will be brought back to the Lord, their God. And this guy, John, your son, is going to go on before the Lord in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." It's finally coming. This priest is getting to hear it from an angel straight. And Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." And the angel said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you're going to be silent and not able to speak until it happens because you didn't believe my words. Well, he's a priest. He spent his whole, that was his job to wait professionally to know what was going to happen. And when the chance came, he blew it. And so I'm spoken to by that because I don't always listen. And the angel closed his mouth. But I'd like to think about that, not just, sometimes we think about that as a punishment. I want to think about it as a second chance, right? Because God said, oh, I so wanted you to be here with me on this when this happened. Finally, I know you, Zechariah. I've been waiting to be excited with you. I want to give you another chance. And so he shut his mouth. Why? So he could learn to listen. You got to be quiet to hear, right? And so he gave him another chance, a chance to learn. So this reminds me, I'll take a little side track here, of one of my heroes, one of the people I've had the pleasure of meeting in my life that I, more than anybody else, really, as much as anybody else, one of the few, you know, when sometimes you say, people say, who's your hero? Who would you like to emulate? And there's very few people for me like that, but one of them is a guy called John Francis. Also goes by the name of the Planet Walker. And John is an amazing human being. I want to play you a short clip that introduces him, and then I'll tell you a little bit about him and how he reminds me of Zechariah.
My name is Dr. John Francis, and I'm also known as the Planet Walker because for 22 years I walked the planet without using motorized vehicles after witnessing an oil spill. And 17 of those years I spent with a vow of silence. Here in South America, I spent 5 years walking the length of South America. I think the walking and the not speaking really allowed me to slow down and listen to nature. So it's one of the things that I enjoy most now. What started as a protest became a lifestyle. And so I just enjoyed that lifestyle of walking in silence and being in nature, listening to what people had to say, because I believe people are also part of nature and part of the environment, but also being able to get to places by foot and just allowing myself to listen to things like the trees and the wind in the trees and to hear the grass grow, so to speak.
So here's John when he came to visit us a few years back, walking with us out in Sadorus, Illinois. So did you catch that? He saw an oil spill. He didn't know what to do about it. He was so sorry for the environment, what he was seeing happen. And he decided that as a form of protest, he was going to stop riding in cars. And then after he started finding that he was getting in too many arguments with people about it, he said, I'm not helping things by arguing. So I think I'm going to stop talking too. 21 years he didn't ride in cars, 17 years he didn't speak. And he traveled all around the world. He became an ambassador for the United Nations and UNESCO. He earned 3 degrees. He was a prophet and a speaker for the good of the earth through not speaking. Because sometimes we think to be quiet is to be passive, but it's not. It's to be active. Being silent turned him back into a different kind of person with the rest of us. When you look online, there's a lot of talks. John gives a lot of talks online. You can go learn more. He says, you know, when I did it for a day, and I realized that I'd not been listening to people. I'd just been waiting for them to finish what they were saying so I could tell them what I thought they should think. And then he said, that helped me to stop talking for a day, so I'm going to do it for another day, and then I'm going to do it for a year. And he kept doing it and kept doing it, and he found that he was communicating to people through pictures and through music and through gestures, all kinds. It made him actually more active as an interacting person with us, not less. And he didn't start talking again until he figured out that he had something important to say. I'm going to let you go look up what that was. But eventually he did. He got his family all together, and he started talking again. But it put him more into action, and I think it's an amazing thing. And think about that with Zechariah, by being quiet. It put him in a place of more action, of more listening. So just as an experiment here, let's be quiet for just a short bit and see what we hear when we just try to listen to the silence. Let's just listen for a little bit, and then I might ask you to name some of the things that you might hear. It's just for a short bit. What do y'all hear? There's still things in the silence, right? What are some things you hear there? Yeah, something banging around down there. What else? Yeah, air come out the vent. Your stomach? Static. What? Static. Static, yeah, from the mic, from these speakers. What? There's no cat in here. There couldn't be a cat in here. What? Is there a cat in here? When you sometimes you hear a sound that doesn't make any sense, you got to really think about it together, right? Right? I'll tell you. Did y'all hear it? There's a cat. I hit a cat in here. There is. I'll show you later. But it takes some time to learn to listen. And it's really hard. First, you think you're really being quiet. And I mean, we need to do it for a long time, right? John did it for 17 years before he started hearing things. But it takes some time. A few more things about hearing. Sometimes when you hear things, you don't even know what it is, and it's really hard. So let me play a different sound for you, and then I'll tell you what it is. This is a strange sound, but when I tell you what it is, it's going to be a revelation. Let's get some volume up. There you go. That's good. Are elephants sleeping? There's elephants sleeping in the woods. You don't hear it at first, and then you hear it, right? So sound is an amazing thing. It can take you places. There's a couple more here, Paco. Keep the sound up. Think about where sound takes you. It can put you in different spaces where you can hear things, right? It can transport you, and you don't always know what you're hearing, but you're somewhere that you didn't know. And we try to make sense of it. And suddenly we're someplace else. We're a forest. Instantly. It takes us places, right? Or it's raining, right? So our ears are amazing things, right? They take us places. We don't always make sense of them. We have to rely on each other to make some sense of it. Did you hear that? I'm not sure if I heard that. It's a complex thing. It's an active thing. And sounds also are kind of, our ears are kind of superpowers, right? Because at Christmas, we can't really see through what's in the present, but how can we figure out what's in there? We might try to guess how. Shake it, right? So, about these guys. You know, these two are pretty much similar in what they look like. But how could I help you figure out what's in them?
You can take the wrapping paper off.
Yeah, before, don't use your eyes, don't use your hands.
What else? Can you shake them, right?
So, which one's more interesting? There's that one. Broke it.
Or this one.
I don't know, which one would you want to open? I'm not going to reveal it, but it's a magic thing. We hear through walls. We hear through things. We our ears are actually our ability to see through things. So they help us in all kind of ways. We don't always only hear with our ears either. We also hear with our whole bodies. One of my favorite musicians is a woman named Evelyn Glennie. She's a world-renowned drummer, percussionist, and she is deaf. So she performs all of her concerts before huge halls of people, deaf as a drummer. And I want to play a quick clip of how she hears with her body to help you think about how else we hear besides our ears here. Just a short clip.
I'm often asked how I physically feel sound. Now, obviously, it's quite a different experience when you're practically on top of the instruments, when you're the producer of the sound, as opposed to being the listener or a member of the audience. But nevertheless, we can all physically feel sound. We just have to pay attention. And the idea is opening up your body like a resonating chamber. So when I strike this big bass drum, you can actually see the head vibrate. I can see it very clearly, even just by looking at it face on, but from the side, you can really, really see that. But if I put my fingernail on the drum, feeling it. So that's a long time that it's actually resonating through my fingernail or wherever you put your hand. And the idea is to really pay attention. And that's really what listening is all about.
So she can hear longer with her finger than she can, than we can with our ears, right? That's the amazing thing there. When she first played it, we thought the sound was done. But the second time she played it, when she put her finger on there, you could tell sound goes a lot longer because the vibration keeps happening. So we don't just hear with our ears, we hear with our whole bodies. We have to learn to listen. And listening is active. It's really rich. We learn what sounds are when we haven't even seen what they are. Like, y'all know what this sound is, probably. It's going to go. Silence. There we go. Right. What's that sound? Right? It's a sound, we all know what it is, and we haven't even seen it. It's amazing. We start to get sounds in our heads for things that we've never even seen with our eyes, right? Sound is that amazing. And there's some sounds we'll never, ever hear. Elephants make sounds through the ground through their feet that are so low that we can't even hear them as human beings. Every animal has different sound ranges of what they can hear. So all that to say that once you think about how complicated listening is, maybe we can start to see how listening has to be an active process, an interpretive process, a process where we learn new ways of using our senses and ourselves and our neighbors to really hear. It's a process of discovery and interpretation. Listening is not just on and off like a switch. Sometimes, I'm sorry to say, I think I approach it that way in my house, where when I say to somebody or some people, "I don't hear you listening," I imagine someone in here can probably guess who that is, but sometimes I might say to folks in the house, "I'm not sure you're listening." And I'm almost like an approach there where I'm imagining anybody in my house might have a switch on where I'm saying, "Did you flick on your listening switch?" But it's not on and off, right? It's a process. We have to learn to listen. It's a part of orienting ourselves to one another. And so when Elizabeth finally gave birth to that promised boy that would be John the Baptist, Zechariah finally spoke again. And the scripture says, asking for a tablet, Zechariah wrote, "His name is to be John." And that took everyone by surprise. And surprise followed surprise. Zechariah's mouth was now open, his tongue loose, and he was talking, praising God. A deep reverential fear settled over the neighborhood. And in all the hill country, people didn't talk about anything else but this. Everyone who heard about it took it to heart, wondering what will become of this child. Clearly, God has his hand in this. So people were affected by this man who learned to listen. Zechariah's silence and then speaking again shook them. It communicated the import of this arrival. It helped them say, this baby, we got to watch this baby. This is, he's going to be something. And it was because they saw a man turned into a listener. That was the testimony. When we learn to listen, when we become good listeners, that shines out. That's our light shining out. People say, oh, if that can happen, if that person can start listening when I never saw them listen before, then God must be working, and that must be real. And so God used a different opportunity of someone coming around to say yes. They didn't say yes on the first try here. It's notable here that in Mary, we celebrate her ability to listen so beautifully right off the bat. But in Zechariah, we celebrate God's graciousness and mercy, that God gives us another chance when we don't. It's a beautiful thing. So it's Advent. Let me get the scripture out one more time. And I think it's good to end here on Zechariah's song, just the last little piece, because once he had been listening for so long, I think he just had a lot to share, a lot would come out. He had learned to see and listen in different ways, and he said this. He's sitting there with his baby in his arms, and he says, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God. He knew that mercy. By which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. When we hear his story as one of having the light finally shone on him, of experiencing God's mercy and being given a second chance, then I hear his excitement about this all the more. He knows it's real. He knows that through John the Baptist, people are going to get that second chance too. They're going to hear too. And that's why he's able to sing so passionately there at the end. So Advent is also the time of solstice. It gets darker earlier in the evenings. We're approaching the darkest night of the year. There's a lot of quiet times. And so I just pray as we go to communion that you experience some time this Advent of silence being a chance to listen, to learn to listen, and to hear where God has been knocking at you for a while, saying, I'm ready. I'm ready for you to come along on this. All my promises are going to come, but I just want you to be part of it because I love you and I want you there. So may silence be a time when you hear that and hear that mercy. Well, I'll invite you to the communion tables. Here at the communion tables at New Covenant, everybody's invited. You can either come as part of a group of folks at the beginning, or you can come individually afterwards, or you can come not at all. It's up to you how you would come join us at these. But we'll have some communion to celebrate Christ's ultimate sacrifice for us on the cross before the resurrection. Amen.